very familiar verse to us, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul declares that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith, by hearing, believing, trusting, and obeying the Word of God. I'd submit to you that that is the basic theme of the book of Romans. To declare that the gospel is the power of God's salvation to everyone who believes. And in his day and time, in his context, he wants to make clear for the Jew and the Gentile. We're not under separate laws, we're under the same law. And that the gospel of Christ is the law of faith. So with that in mind, turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 1, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness," what's the source of his righteousness? The gospel. Why are they ignorant of the gospel? Because they choose to be. They've rejected it. "And going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Can't appeal to the law, the Mosaic law, for righteousness. Christ is the end of the law and the beginning of the gospel, the good news of salvation. "For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say?" This is what it says. It says, "The word is near to you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you then shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." Four, explanation of that. That's a statement of truth, but it needs some explanation. Four, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Four, the scripture says, "Whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? In other words, they're authorized to preach what they preach. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, "Lord, who has believed our report?" So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He goes on to say, he says, but I say, have they not heard? They're ignorant of the gospel. Is it because they haven't heard it? Verily, their sound went out into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, meaning the Gentiles, and by foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. And to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched out my hands unto you, a disobedient and gainsaying people. There's a lot in this one chapter, and I've entitled this lesson, 10 Lessons from Romans chapter 10. So we go through the chapter rather quickly. One of the first things we see is that zeal without knowledge will not save. Remember, he says, my heart's desire for Israel that they might be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Zeal without a knowledge of the will and word of God will not save. We run into a lot of people today who are zealous for God, but not according to a knowledge of the gospel wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. We also learn from this chapter that we must practice the righteousness of God. Verse 3, he says, being ignorant of God's righteousness, which comes by hearing the gospel, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. We could talk about the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites. They were all religious people. The prophets of Baal that Elijah faced were religious people. The followers of Diana at Ephesus were religious people. We could talk about Paul at Corinth and how he beheld all of their different monuments and statues, idols, if you will, and he says, I perceive that you're a very religious people. In context, the Jews had not believed and confessed Christ. They were a religious people. They still held to the Mosaic law, although they had perverted it by their traditions and customs. But they were a religious people. True religion appeals to the practice of the doctrine of Christ. 2 John verse 9 says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So doctrine is important. What God teaches us through Christ and His Word is extremely important if we hope to be in fellowship with God. Five of the seven churches of Asia were religious, but they were wrong. They were reproved. They were warned and they were corrected. And hopefully they listened to the correction. But we must practice the righteousness of God. Not our inclinations, not our feelings, not what seems right to us or feels right to us, but what God teaches us from His Word. We also see that God makes it plain that His Word is near. Verses 6 through 8 of Romans 10 says, the righteousness of faith, which he says later in this chapter, comes by hearing the Word of God. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Or who shall descend into the abyss? What does it say? It says the word is near you. Remember that? Where God said, they shall not be taught in order to be my children. They shall not be taught. They will know. Because you have to be, you have to know the will of God, the word of God, in order to become a child of God. Unlike under the Mosaic law where you're just born into the nation of God's chosen people by your physical birth and then taught, we are taught the word of God. We are born of the seed of God's word to be a child of God. The word is near you, the word of faith which we preach. There were some who professed that one must ascend to heaven or descend into the grave to know the mysteries of God. How do we know what God wants us to do? How do we know different things spiritually? False teachers don't want you to look into the word of God for the answer to those questions. They want to appeal to your feelings. And they will make, as Andy pointed out last week in our adult Bible class, they will make persuasive arguments and appeal to emotions and all types of things in order to cloud the revelation of God. People of old, this goes back to the days of Deuteronomy. And people were saying then, well, how do we know? We'd have to go to heaven ourselves and find out what's on the mind of God. We have to go into the deep of death to see the mysteries of what's beyond. No. There's another way. God could just tell us. And of course, that's exactly what he did. There are some today who profess that God's will and his word are mysteriously hidden in mysterious, quote-unquote, lost books. And it didn't take long for these people to come along. The Gnostic religion and the Gnostic writings. And every once in a while, usually around Easter and Christmas, when people are really starting to think about Christ, that have never thought about Christ any time else in their life, they'll start thinking about Christ. And it seems like that makes unbelievers uneasy. And so they try to plant seeds of doubt in the hearts of believers. And all of a sudden, they'll start talking about the Gnostic writings. Gnostic writings that made Jesus of Nazareth just a man. Discounts and are in contradiction to the canon of the scriptures. And they'll try to lend weight to those writings, equal weight to those writings. In fact, superior weight to those writings rather than the canon of the scriptures. But the fact of the matter remains that all scripture is breathed of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for showing us where we're wrong, for correction, to correct our wrong, to set us on the right path, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Don't ever doubt the truth of those verses. All scripture is breathed of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You don't have to go up to heaven and ask God. You don't have to go into the grave and into the Hadean realm to find out the mysteries of spiritual life. You don't have, God has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, excellence, in the practice of our faith to His praise, to His glory. So I want to keep that thought before you as we go through this lesson, that God's Word is near to us. It's been given to us. It's written in the Scriptures, but He intends for it to be in our hearts. He intends for it to be part of us, to guide us, direct us throughout our lives. The righteousness of faith is the word of faith, which Paul says, which we preach, which we were authorized to preach, that Christ sent us to preach and to teach all nations. In every aspect of His Word. We also learn, a lesson that we learn is that we are to learn, we must listen to what He has revealed. Verse 8, He says, what does it say? You don't have to go into heaven. You don't have to go into the Hadean realm. What does the Word say? It says the Word is dear to you. In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. He hasn't mysteriously held these truths from you. He has revealed them to us in this word of faith. For preaching to be beneficial, it must first of all be authorized. We can't preach what we are not sent with, what God has not authorized us to preach. And it then must be listened to. Israel was ignorant of the gospel. They were ignorant of the righteousness of God because they were prejudiced against it. Remember here tonight says, what do you do? What do you say to somebody? You invite them to come to worship services and you invite them to come to our gospel meeting, and they said, well, I'm not going to go out there with those uppity people. My first response was, how do they know we're uppity? That's rather prejudice, isn't it? Who do they know out here? I'd say they don't know anybody. I don't know anybody who's uppity out here. Do you? If you do, let's talk to them, okay? The other thing I said, well, maybe you could say, do you think I'm uppity? Do you think I associate with uppity people? Pretty prejudiced, isn't it? But the Israelites, those who refused to hear the gospel, they had their mind made up against it. They were prejudiced against Christ and the gospel and Christianity. And there are a host of people who continue to be such today. But we must listen to what God has said. We don't have to go on an exploratory mission to heaven or into the Hadean realm or into our own imagination. Just listen to what God has revealed. And we must think about what we've heard. Romans 10 and verse 10 says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made to salvation. The heart is where we reason with the truth. And we allow it to convict us, to convert us. We allow, as we talked about last Sunday night, we allow the message of God's love displayed in His Son in paying the price of our sin in His death, we allow that message to compel us to return our life as a living sacrifice in the performance of the righteousness that He instructs us in. Even Jesus lamented the condition of a hardened heart in Mark 8, verses 17 through 21. Do you know who He was talking to? He was talking to His own apostles. Mark 8. They'd been with Jesus quite a while. Jesus said, how is it you don't believe? Not only have you heard what I've said, you've seen the miracles that I've done, and yet they will continue not to accept the things that he is teaching them. And the power, he says, that they have, if they will just believe. I'm afraid Christians today are much like the apostles of the first century. We believe that God is almighty, that he can do all things. But we limit his power by our unbelief and our hardened heart. Hearts that are hardened by prejudice, pride, or the passion of carnal pleasure do not reason on truth, because truth contradicts their own truth. You hear that a lot today, don't you? Well, it's my truth. Your truth isn't the truth. What you imagine to be truth, what you've accepted as truth, is not the truth. And that will get you into trouble every single time. And it will definitely get you into trouble with God. If what God reveals to be truth in his word disagrees with what you believe to be true, you're going to reject his truth. And not be in fellowship with him. So we need to think about what we hear from his word. Allow it to convict us and allow it to lead us and guide us. You can't believe what you don't know. And so Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, if you haven't heard the Word of God, you can't know the Word of God. You can't believe it. If you've rejected it, you can't believe it. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating when you love someone and you're trying to teach them, you're trying to bring them to Christ, you're trying to bring them out of their sin, and a destination of eternal torment, but they are so set in their own ways that they will not listen. I understand that. Jesus understood it. That's why, as we talked about this morning, about the parable of the sower and the different types of hearts that there are. Sometimes the stony ground and the wayside ground and the thorny ground, those hearts are the hearts of people that are very close to us, that we love very much. Nevertheless, they continue to prove over and over and over of what sort of heart they are. And you can't help but be impressed by the words of Jesus when he said, those who are of the truth come to the light. The honest and good heart, the noble and good heart, is of the truth. They turn to the light to walk in the life of Christ. If you reject that light of truth, there is no hope for you. True faith does not come from within oneself. Without truth, one is left to speculation, superstition, and the practice of sin. To be saved, one must confess the revealed divine truth that God has revealed to us. So Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. To confess is to say that you are in agreement with the truth, as it is in Christ. Not just that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but you believe that He is the Lord, that He has the right to teach you and to guide you and to correct you, that His Word is truth, and in His Word is the revelation of righteousness. And as we believe that, confess it, trust it, and obey it, we practice the righteousness that is revealed in the Word. Whether you want to be that of the Word small w or uppercase W, the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. By confessing Jesus, we are saying that we will abide in His will and thereby live to His glory. We're not seeking our glory, but His. And we can only glorify Him by knowing His will and doing His will. Another point that's made in this chapter that He's made through beginning in chapter 1 is that everyone can be saved. Romans 10 verses 11 through 13 says, the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. And He means whoever. Jew or Gentile. Regardless of race. Regardless of nationality. Whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew or Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon Him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that goes back to Joel chapter 2. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, whoever appeals to the authority of the one who is Lord, will be saved. That's what He said in Joel chapter 2. That's what Peter called to the minds of those on the day of Pentecost. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And on that occasion, he launched from that truth to declare that Jesus Christ, who you crucified, is both Lord and Christ, the Messiah. He has the authority. He is the anointed of God, convicted by the arguments that He made in that short period of time. They asked, what shall we do? And the divine answer that was given to Peter, which he relayed to them, was repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ. He authorized repentance and baptism for the remission of sins. Anyone, everyone can be saved. Everyone who is saved the same way. Verse 12, he says, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Yeah, you have to believe in Him, to call upon Him, to appeal to His authority. How shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? Can't believe unless you've heard. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear unless somebody tells them? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who make peace between sinners and God. And you might say, well, God's the one who made the peace. Yeah? He paid the price for the peace. He shed the blood to make peace. He rose from the grave triumphant over death to make peace. But peace isn't realized until we believe that good news. Trust Him, obey Him, and follow Him. They bring glad tidings of good things. You can be in fellowship with Almighty God. You can be in fellowship with the Word of God by trusting Him and obeying Him. Sadly, the last lesson that we're going to notice in this lesson tonight is that not everyone will be saved. Everyone can be saved, and everyone who is saved the same way, but not everyone will be saved. They have not all obeyed the gospel. Israel had a zeal for God, but not according to righteousness, because they had rejected the message of righteousness in the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the anointed of God. He is our Savior. They had rejected that message. They have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah even foretold, "Lord, who has believed our report?" And the sad thing is that, as Jesus declared in the Sermon on the Mount, very few. Very few. Narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereby. So then, faith comes by hearing. Israel, you need to hear the word of righteousness. You need to get over your prejudice against the Word of God. You need to get over what you think the Word of God says, and you need to open your Bibles and open your heart to what the Word of God actually says. Because you have to hear in order to believe, in order to trust Him, in order to obey Him, in order to be saved. You need to hear His Word. It's a great chapter. It's a chapter we must understand. It's a chapter that we must be able to explain to those that we come in contact with. Many have perverted it, but we know the truth. We can explain it. We can shed the light of truth on the truth, with the truth. And we need to be doing that. Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, why not? Well, you might say, I love God. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I love Him. Why won't you obey Him? Why won't you give your life to Him? Why won't you dedicate yourself to Him? Let Him guide you for the rest of your days in His way, to His glory. If you've made the decision to do so, we'd encourage you to obey the gospel tonight. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?